Okay, second half begins, and we should begin by wishing Aaron Downes well. He's fixed himself up with a club, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And following on from what we were talking about at the end of the first half, Cheltenham Town just relegated to the National League Premier next season. New manager Gary Johnson in. And they are apparently in a position to start signing players straight away, which of course Chris Hargreaves isn't at Torquay. And I wonder whether Cheltenham fans in some ways feel a bit like Torquay fans felt in 2007 when, following United's relegation then, Paul Buckle and Colin Lee moved in and they started signing players almost from the first day of May, and which obviously galvanised the supporters there and... the rest is history. But good luck to Aaron Downes. He was a popular player at Playmore, and rightly so. I think obviously Chris Hargreaves made a decision there that he wanted a different type of central defender. He also released Christian Pearce. No word on where he might be going yet. Aaron Downes loved his time here. Three very happy years and. I'm sure would have been quite happy to stay, but that's not been the case. There's an old saying in football: there's never a good way to say goodbye in football.
Absolutely.
And good luck to him at Cheltenham. And he rides a bike like I do. And
not all the way to Cheltenham, surely.
No. But but he said he said surely it can't be as hilly up in Cheltenham as it is down here. And I said, you have a look at those Cotswolds.
Though should apologise for the sound of the rain drumming on the flat roof here, by the way, if that's it's not interference. It is tipping it down out there.
So. And by the way, congratulations to Aaron Downes as well. He rode from Bubby Tracy up to Haytor the other day.
Did he?
Chapeau, Aaron.
To anybody who does that.
Right.
Getting back to what we were talking about before and the what's going on behind the scenes at Playmore, the Torquay United Supporters Trust, do they still have a role to play, do you think?
Well,
is their role really now important?
I think they do have a role to play because, groups like them, quite rightly, without supporters, the club is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you chairman come and go, boards come and go, directors come and go. The only people who keep on coming are the fans who keep coming through the turnstile. And Torquay's been very lucky over the years to have had such, solid and loyal support. And there are many other clubs like them in the country. So it's sort of a no-brainer that an organisation which represents those fans should have some sort of role, in helping to run the club. But brutally speaking...
Yeah, because the problem surely is that fans like me will pay our 20 quid a year and wear the enamel badge in the lapel, but that's not what they need, is it?
No.
They don't need my 20 quid particularly.
No. Well, the more 20 quids they get, the better.
Yeah.
But the fact is that United are in a situation, unless it goes completely pear-shaped, in which case you're back into an Exeter City-type situation where the Supporters Trust came in
and there's a good example of what a Supporters Trust can and needs to be able to do at times like this.
And it's worth remembering that when they did that, City were at a lower ebb than United are now, and they were in the conference for, 5 years, City?
Yeah.
Something like that. And things were desperate there. You look at St James's Park now, fantastic what they've done at that club, and all credit to them on and off the field. But the fact is that you look at the St James's Road end, the away supporters, and the old wooden grandstand. Now, United have moved on from that.
Very much.
Long ago, and obviously more recently with Bristow's bench. Mm. But that's all come from having money in the club.
Yeah.
People injecting serious money into the club. Now, unless the thing ends up even more serious than it is now, Tust do have a role to play, and probably quite rightly, but they can't possibly expect to have a controlling interest in the thing unless they get some serious money together.
Yeah.
And all the discussions at the club at the moment, and good luck to them. And I it's got to be a way forward in lower division football. It's not a sustainable model to have people like Thea Bristow pouring enormous amounts of money in to keep it going, to keep clubs like Torquay going, whether it's Torquay, Hereford, Salisbury, Exeter City or Port Vale. It's not a sustainable thing because you're all just waiting for the day when the person goes, sorry, I'm out of here. So, some sort of new model needs to be done. And I think one of the things that's occurred to me over the last few weeks is the last few years have been quite eventful at Playmore. Obviously, the last few years have been pretty depressing.
For the wrong reasons.
For the wrong reasons. But
we've
before
had some
that,
good times as well.
Exactly. But in a way, something has gone wrong at the club over the last 2, 3, 4 years. United have always been at their best when there's been an element of backs to the wall, us against the world, fighting and scrapping and making the most of a little bit. Mike Bateson ran the club like that.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Bateson funded the club, etc., etc. But there wasn't a penny spent that wasn't bloody well necessary. Now, an awful lot of money has been thrown at Torquay United over the last few years to get to this point.
Mm.
It's wrong. And it hasn't worked. And in a funny sort of way, I think United's fans always react quite well like in those circumstances. It's almost like, you know, when they've been involved in a relegation scrap, they all turn up and try and support. And Torquay always struck me as being at their best when they weren't awash with money. Mm. That certainly seems to be the case at the moment. Mm. And it may well be for a year or two. Well, United have prospered in those situations before. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that's something that Chris Hargreaves, particularly in terms of what happens on the pitch, is very aware of. The players he's looking to get in next season will be triers, will be people, you know, they won't be high days and holidays players. He's very aware that the need to get people in who the supporters can look at and say, well, whether or not he's the bee's knees, he doesn't half get stuck in every Saturday. That's the type of player that Torquay have always, you know, unless we're talking about occasional salad days like Leroy's promotion team in 2004, on the whole, Torquay teams have been good value for money, especially at home.
And this brings us rather neatly to a couple of signings this week, Liam Prynne and O'Neill Odofin.
Yeah, which is, you know, in amongst all the depression at the moment and worry, you know, to have four players, and I think, you know, I've certainly seen quite a lot of all four. The fans haven't seen quite so much of Liam Prynne and O'Neill Odofin, the two lads who have signed out of the academy this week. But they have seen quite a lot of Dan Lavercombe and Levi Ives. To get four through in 1 year, now it doesn't mean they're all going to be stars.
No, but the fans will warm to them because they've come up through the ranks.
That's right.
They've served their apprenticeship and now it's time to show what they can do in the first
team. This is the whole point of the academy that was set up again in, 2009, something like that, to relaunch it. And it's finally starting to produce. I don't think anybody doubts the quality of Lavercombe and Ives. We've seen it at first team level already. O'Neill Odofin, Darren Moore. Well, let's not burden him with expectation. But O'Neill Odofin is bigger and stronger than Darren Moore was.
That was big and strong.
He's a very promising centre half, and Liam Prynne has been a good goal scorer at youth team level. Who was headhunted by Aston Villa a year ago, and that didn't come off. So, good news that we've got four through like that in 1 year.
A couple of other things on the agenda this week. First of all, Verna Stuckey passed away.
Well, this is a lady who not many people will know about, but she sat behind us, behind the press box, week in, week out, and we were staggered. She passed away, sadly, 10 days ago. We were staggered, were we not, when we heard that she was 93 years old.
Yeah.
And she was always there.
Yeah, we'll miss her on match days, won't we?
We certainly will miss her. And I'm never complaining about the cold and the wet on a February Tuesday night again, because Verna would be there grinning. It won't be the same without her, will it? And her funeral's next Friday, and we'll certainly miss her.
And very quickly, Yellowfest was terrific by all accounts. I didn't get there myself, but I'm told everybody who did go said, fantastic, let's do it again. And also, Wembley on Sunday, it's Lee Mansell versus Jordan Chappell, Bristol Rovers against Grimsby in the playoff.
I think we're all rooting for Grimsby, aren't we? So we've got Rovers next season.
Grimsby. I mean, neither really, but...
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week and we'll know who's won out of Mansell and Chappell.